Romans chapter 12. And I'll give you a little bit of introductory material from here, working back into it. Romans chapter 12. Okay, you know the verses 1 and 2. We'll read them again. And then we're going to look at one piece of verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're going to look at today. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. That's what we're going to look at. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go right into the study. Blake, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Now notice what he says here about the renewing of your mind. He says, be not conformed, there's a word, conformed to this world, but be ye, there's another word, transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that takes place. Now, here's a little background. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the creation of man is given to us. And how is that verse worded? He says, God formed man of the dust of the earth. And you'll read through the Bible and you'll keep hearing that God formed the man, or God formed him in the womb. All right, have you ever poured concrete or seen it poured? What do they do before they pour it? They form it. They put up a form because they're going to pour this liquid before it becomes a solid into that form. And then what it's going to do is it's going to take shape of the form into which it's poured. And, you know, in ornamental concrete, they can pour bird baths and planters and all kinds of things that actually have designs and shapes on them that take the form in which they're poured. Bronzes are poured into a form, okay? So God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. That's your form. Well, after you're formed, then there is the pressure to become conformed to the world. In other words, your form is the natural shape that you were given, the form of a man, the form of a woman. And then you go out here into the world and there is the process of conformation to form you as to something like the world. When you get saved, now suddenly there's a different process taking place. And the process that's taking place, Paul says, involves a transformation. You don't have to turn there unless you want to, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul is telling the Galatians, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So you have this worldly formation, if you will, because you were living in the world before you got saved. And then when you get saved, Jesus Christ comes and takes up residence inside of you. And now the work of God is to form him inside of you, which will change who you are. Some of us have gotten saved and the change in our lives was so dramatic that people who knew us before we got saved and know us now say, man, you have really changed. And what they're seeing is there has been the formation of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says about your salvation in verse 29. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, he says, for whom he did foreknow. In other words, he knew who was going to be saved and who wasn't, but he didn't force you to be saved. And he says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We've talked about this recently. So the world has a form that it wants you to take. And right now that's somebody with gauges in their ears and tattoos all over their bodies and piercings all over everywhere that wants you to get formed up to that kind of a thing and the walk and the talk and so forth. And over here then you have this image of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I travail until Christ be formed in you, and the work of the Spirit of God is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And the more you are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the less you are conformed to the world. You don't even look like the world. Okay? And people can tell it right away. And people today, I've talked to a lot of people always being in the ministry, and they'll say, it's amazing today, but when you go to a lot of churches today, you can't tell the difference between them that profess to be saved and them that are in the world. They all look the same, which tells me this process of confirmation to the Lord Jesus Christ is not taking place. It also tells me that this work that we read about here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's not taking place. See? And so what we want to talk about tonight is we want to talk about the renewing of your mind, that transformation that takes place in you as your mind is renewed. In other words, all the aspects that may be involved of the Spirit of God working in you to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, one of the big playgrounds, one of the big work areas is your mind. And I know that because before you got saved, the Bible talks about the devil, who is the god of this world, blinding the minds of those that are lost. Okay? So the mind, after you get saved, is a very, very important part of the transformation into being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes that aspect of Christianity is neglected in preaching and teaching, that we're not talking so much about what happens in the mind. Okay, so we want to talk about that tonight. And in order to do that, we need to actually go through several scriptures and see what needs to be taking place in our minds that the rest of our lives will form up properly to this transforming work to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to some scripture now. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, a very important verse of Scripture, and one that many of you have memorized, if for no other reason than we've repeated it so many times. 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's important for you to understand that it is possible for you to renew your mind because your mind is not the same after you get saved as it was before you were saved. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? This, everybody out there in the world land, I don't care if they're conservative or liberal or if they're in what type of media they're in, everybody today is dealing with the spirit of fear. That is being portrayed everywhere. I know in my own heart, I know you know it in your heart as well, if you try to click on any news source just to find out what's going on around you, if you listen to it for a while, there is going to be a stress building in your body. A hopelessness. You're going to get upset because people who are supposed to be doing their jobs in politics are not doing their jobs properly. You're going to get nervous about the state of the economy. Somebody's going to try to sell you gold to prepare for the coming bad time. You're going to get, your mind is going to be affected by what you hear, and what you're going to come away with is something that's going to scare you. It's intended to scare you. And the Bible says, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When I have the opportunity to counsel with people, which seems to be a lot, telephone call, email, face-to-face, however, and I'm listening to people talk to me about the things that are concerning them and the things that stress them, underneath, if they'll be honest with me, they're afraid. It's fear that has motivated them to want to try to do something about what they came to talk about. Okay? And the Bible, you have to understand this, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please understand something. For your mind to be renewed, you have to understand, you have been given something by God, and it is called a sound mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. Now, you didn't have that before you got saved. He gave that to you. And the trouble comes a lot of times when we think with a mind that is not sound, or when we think with the mind that is not the one that Christ gave us. But we're thinking with a mind that is affected by the influences of the world. And so that's very important. Another thing to realize is James chapter 1 and verse 8. James chapter 1 and verse 8. In your prayer life, you need to recognize, and I need to recognize, that it is possible to be double-minded and then to be ineffective in prayer. All right, you can read the whole context, but look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, he goes on to tell you how that affects your prayer life. Verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Boy, that's a wipeout on your prayer life right there, isn't it? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, I've heard a number of descriptions. I think when Brother Hoffmeister was here recently and addressed the men, he gave a really good explanation. He said, a double-minded man is a man that thinks one way with his heart and another way with his head. That's a good explanation. In the context of what we're studying tonight, a double-minded man is one that thinks like the world part of the time and thinks like Christ another part of the time. That's a good explanation. Because he tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind because we have the mind of Christ, and that mind that he gave us is a sound mind and doesn't respond to fear. Like our mind. Some of us, listen, have the body chemistries that the least little thing that scares you creates a physical reaction in your body. Your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up. If it's a needle, you pass out. Speaking of personal experience, okay, there's a very physical response to that kind of fear. If you're Marie, you scream. Very physical response to a mental thing, okay? And so if you don't know that, I'll show you tonight before you leave. You just hang around here a little bit and I'll give you a demonstration on that. How that goes. So he says, don't be so double-minded. What we have to be very careful is then that if we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we recognize the mind builds spiritually. We don't want it to build carnally. Okay? He says in our text that we're looking at tonight, be not conformed to this world. May I show you something? You're in James. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Look at verse 19. Now, 19 shows us what's going on, but it's in the middle of a parenthesis. So let's get 17 and read into it. Brethren, Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In other words, if they're not walking after our example, then we're not doing the same thing. And so you have us as an example, so mark them. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Watch it. Who mind earthly things. Who mind earthly things? Again, then, we have a sound mind, but there's this competition to be double-minded, and there are men in the ministry today who are so minded about earthly things that they are absolutely not minded about spiritual things. You see that? They are totally and absolutely conformed to this world. You're never going to renew your mind being conformed to this world, being double-minded, or minding earthly things. Okay? So what we have to see then is we've got to figure out what is this renewal process? What takes place? Well, look at a couple of introductory verses into this renewal process. Look at 2 Corinthians. You're in Philippians. Go back to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice something, that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this process of renewing your mind is not something that you wake up one day and then it is set for the rest of your life. You just say, okay, I'm now saved. My mind has been transformed. Boom, I'm always going to think like this. No, watch what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. Again, we're in the middle of a context. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Tell me what it says. Day by day. Day by day. So it's a maintenance program. Day by day. It's a maintenance program. It's not the kind of thing that you can do on Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday, or once after you get saved. It's a daily process of renewal. You're in the Corinthians. Just notice again in Ephesians chapter 4, another verse that relates to this, Ephesians chapter 4. About this renewal process, look at verses 22, 23, and 24. You're going to see this thing we're talking about, this confirmation, transformation, and look what's right in the middle of it, Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that's what you used to be conformed to, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See how important that mind is and the renewal process, it takes place in the spirit of your mind. Do you see that? Now all of this is kind of foundational. All of this is a sort of explanational toward what we're going to go to now. If there's the tendency in my brain, and boy, I'll tell you what, there is in my brain, there is the tendency magnetically pulled back into an old way of thinking. I know you're going to find this strange, but I just want you to understand how important this renewal process is. Generally speaking, in my life, and this may, I'm telling you this because it's probably very much like yours. If I have an opportunity to go on vacation for, let's say, a week or more, let's say 6 weeks, I'm just preparing the soil. If I have an opportunity to go on vacation for about a week, the first couple of days I'm pretty wound up because I'm used to what I'm doing here. On the third day, when I quit kind of freaking out about not doing anything, and then I start relaxing. And if I get so relaxed, man, I'm like pasta. Not al dente either. What is it if it's not al dente? It's really loose. Just like pasta. Soggy. Really, man. I mean, well-cooked broccoli. I'm just... Okay, just mush. And I mean, I like that. All right? When I come back, I can feel it stiffening up, crank. I can feel that spring tightening. Last night I went to sleep, and I woke up at 6:15, and when I did, I was like, oh, I better get up, start reading my Bible. I think I'll take 5 more minutes, which turned into an hour and a half. I didn't wake up till 7:45. And when I woke up, I promise you, I felt that same feeling that I have after a week of vacation. I was just like, oh, yeah. And you know what entered into my mind? What entered into my mind is that something must be wrong, that I'm not feeling jacked up like that. You ever feel that way? Nothing was wrong. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I finally got some rest. But there's this tendency, we walk in this. So what I'm saying is there's a real tendency on our part to be walking in the Spirit, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, knowing that the Holy Spirit is conforming us with a sound mind, with a mind of Christ, to be thinking along some lines that are conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And it is real easy, to hear something or think about something that immediately brings you back over here. And what you want to guard against is that kind of thinking, because you know what? Let me just give you something here, and then we're going to go right into to the things to do in order to start thinking the right way. Over here, when you get stressed with a mind that is conformed to the world, you also start looking for the remedies to the fears that come here. People who end up thinking like, if you're listening to me, you can't tell. I'm standing on the left side of the pulpit. I'm pretending to be thinking with the mind of people that are in the world. You have this very generous spirit. You want to be doing a lot of things for the Lord. You start thinking like the world again. You start listening to Glenn Beck and all the people that tell you you got to start stockpiling everything. And you know what happens? Your giving goes down. You don't give cheerfully. You give fearfully. Right? Okay. You get away from that kind of thinking and you get over here and you start really trusting Christ. Now I'm standing on the right-hand side of the pulpit. I'm now in the mind of Christ. You give cheerfully, you give relaxed, you give by faith, and you're not even worried about any of that stuff because your mind is thinking now soundly. You're thinking about the rapture and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith and His security and the rest in Jesus Christ. And I mean, it doesn't take the exposure to very much and whoosh, you're right back in here again. Scared and jacked up and stressed and can't sleep at night and afraid and sweating and all kind of crazy things. We can't live like this. We can't be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and at the same time be transformed. The world already knows how to live like that. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for a people like you, and they're looking for a people like me who can stand on faith with a renewed mind in Jesus Christ, with being transformed and not get all buzzed out about that stuff. And they're like, what is the, how are you doing that? And then you tell them, this isn't me, this is Jesus Christ. And He's allowed me to be like this. And then they're going, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about that. Let's look at what some things to do. First of all, Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and look at verse 37. All right, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus Christ is answering a question of a lawyer who asked Him about the great commandment in the law. And you know part of this answer. He says, Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22, 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know that. But that's not the end of the verse. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy, help me, mind. All right, there's one remedy right there to this, or I shouldn't say remedy, but one of the processes of transformation is to love the Lord with all your mind. All right, when you love the Lord with all of your mind, then what happens is you start hanging on to hymns because they really help you think about the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. All right, I'm telling you, that just draws you right in there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Well, that starts just pulling you right in there. And then, you know, I have a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Boy, there it goes again. And you know what's happening? Your mind is being consumed with thoughts of eternal things. And He says, love Him with all your mind. And one of the best ways to do that is to sing praises to Him and have that stuff circulating in your mind and be conscious of who He is, where He is, what He's doing, you know, count your blessings and all that kind of stuff, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something, as you consciously, mentally pour your thoughts into loving the Lord Jesus Christ, you truly are drawn away from earthly things. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. But be conscious about it. Now, I know this is possible for you. Is it possible for you to sing a whole song and never think about a single word that you're singing in the song that you're singing? Yeah. I didn't think I was strange there. That, you know what that is? That's not loving Him with all of your mind, because your mind is on whatever it is, and you're just routinely mouthing the words coming out of the song. So love Him with all of your mind. Think about all those things that He's doing for you and that He has done for you. It's phenomenal when you consider all that the Lord is doing. Philippians chapter 4, look at another thing. Love Him with all your mind. A conscious love of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. I need to memorize this verse better. I quoted in pieces. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 8. I like Paul. Paul's the kind of guy that likes long goodbyes. You ever have people that say, yeah, we'll see you later, and then you start another conversation? And they say, well, we'll see you, I'll see you tomorrow, and then they start another conversation? All right, Paul's like that. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren, right? Right? And then look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brethren. You know, he just doesn't know when to shut up. But look what he says. Finally, brethren, watch it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you're thinking right now, or have been recently, about the condition of our country and who the elected officials are and what you can do about it, you know what you've done? You've worked yourself up into a frenzy. But if you start thinking about Jesus is coming back and the words of the God are true, and you think about things that are honest, I'll have people come to me and they're stressed out about something, and I'll look at them, I'll say, you know what, but you're not being honest with yourself about the things in the Scripture, and you need to be honest. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. This, I think every society has been impure, but this impure society is working on the minds of Christians and non-Christians over time, because everywhere you look, your mind is exposed to impurity. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. All right, well then these are the limits of your thinking. If you're thinking about anything that's not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, you're thinking about the wrong things. Amen. You ask yourself the question when your mind strays, is this pure? If it's not pure, don't think about it. You're thinking about some things, all of a sudden your mind starts to stray, and the thing you're thinking about is not true, or you can't verify whether it's true. You're thinking about the wrong thing. And so forth down the list. You can read. And pretty soon, if you confine your thinking to these matters right here, it's an amazing thing how your mind will transform and renew. And when your mind transform and renew, you will be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? You know the battle is for the mind. If the devil's going to battle your mind before you get saved, you know he's going to battle your mind after you get saved. So follow what the Lord says. First of all, love Him with all your mind. Then secondly, think and limit your thinking to these things that are on the Philippians 4:8. Now another one. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Here's another one. In Romans chapter 7, how many of you know verse 18? You may not be able to quote it, but you look at the verse, oh yeah, I know that verse. I say it to myself all the time. How many of you know verse 18? You know that verse? Yeah. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's you know what that is? That's the Christian's excuse verse. If I can't think of any other legitimate reason to continue this sin in my life, I'll just quote that one. And basically that's the I'll just throw in the towel verse. You know, I can't make it. I'm gonna be this way the rest of my life. But that's not true. You know, a lot of sin that takes place in our lives, as we've been talking recently in Sunday school, follows a thought pattern and the way we think about sin in our lives. But look what Paul said in verse 25, because this is the verse we want. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now listen, if you're with your mind you are serving the law of God, do you think that your flesh might follow? I mean, not cooperatively. No, it'll never cooperate. But yes, it will. The point very simply being that if he says, I'm serving the law of God with my mind, then what he's proposing to do is be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. What he's proposing to do is get his mind locked in on this law over here, which when he does is going to inhibit the ability of the flesh to drag him off in the other direction. Now, where's the law of God? It's in this book. I really know this to be true in my life. I believe you would say the same thing. When you are reading your Bible regularly, what did he say in Ephesians 4? Something about day by day. When you're reading your Bible regularly and you are feeding on it, you're not just, hey, if you have to check off a box in order to be able to do it, then do it by check off the box. Don't want to criticize that at all. But make sure when you do, you're actually actively involved in your reading. Engaged, they say, in your reading. When you are, it's an amazing thing, but your mind gets set on biblical things. And it changes the way you think about things. All right? So actively serve the law of God with your mind. And then look at this, Romans chapter 15, verse 5. So first of all, love the Lord with all your mind. Secondly, think on the things that Paul gave you there in Philippians chapter 4. And then in Romans, recognize that you can serve the law of God with your mind. Then look at this thing here in Romans 15 at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, what's the next word? Like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You're in a good church. And I don't say that because I'm here. I say that because God's here. You're in a good church. And this is a good crowd to visit with and fellowship with and to be like-minded with. You know why? Because when your mind lines up with things that are of God and also with people who are serving the Lord, you know, your thinking gets balanced. Watch something that, and I'll show you how this really is effective. You remember, he says, to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Look in Romans chapter 12 at verse 16. Along this like-mindedness, look at this verse and we'll stop right here. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be of the same mind one toward another. Now I have the benefit of being able to be around here, Tony and Randy. Brian will show up when he can because he's working and visit with a lot of you. You know what? We think a lot alike, don't we? You ever notice that? We don't think about everything exactly the same way. Some of us like Chevrolet, some of us like Ford, some of us like the foreign brands. I mean, you know, some of you like classical music and some of you like picking and greening. I don't mean that you're molded in you're cast out of the same mold. I don't mean that. But you love Jesus. And you're like-minded about that Bible. You know that God preserved His Word in the King James Bible. You're like-minded in that you know people without Christ die and go to hell, and you're concerned about that. And you're like-minded in that you want to see God work here, and you're like-minded in that you want to do things for missions. And you're like-minded in that even if you don't get to go out with us on Fishers of Men, you pray for it. And you love to hear the good reports when people get saved and the Bibles go out. You see, you're like-minded about a lot of things. And that's a good thing, but let me show you something. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, he says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that's, you know what that is? That's this final limit. Okay, over here, I'm standing to the left-hand side, my left-hand side of the pulpit, your right-hand side of the pulpit over here. This is people that think like the world. They're easy to pick out. They talk like the world. They dress like the world. They look like the world. They sound like the world. Right? Now I'm standing on the right-hand side of the pulpit, left for your side. These are people that think like Christ. And they talk about heaven and they talk about the rapture. I had a 74-year-old lady call me from the radio today. And she said, "I've been listening to you for 3 years. She said, "Brother, that message you gave today on the rapture got me fired up. And I just want to be absolutely sure I'm going up in that rapture." And we talked about all that for a little while. And man, I'm telling you, we had great fellowship. These are like-minded people. You know what she says? "I think the coolest thing in the whole wide world is the day Jesus comes and we're going to get to see Him face to face." And she said, "I'm just listening for the sound of my name coming out with the voice of a trumpet, and I'm out of here." The people over there don't talk like this, okay? But Romans chapter 12, verse 16 says, when you get in here and you get real spiritually minded, be careful about this. Amen. Don't go over here. Now I'm standing way to the right of the pulpit, way to the left of that pulpit. What I've done is I've got freaky. And we've had some freaky ones come through here. and he says, don't be wise in your own conceit. Stay right in here on balanced ground with Jesus. Okay? And I'll tell you what it'll do. It will settle your mind. And if you can just get your mind locked in on the right things of God, a good steady diet of loving Jesus and thinking about true and pure and lovely and things of a good report, thinking about that stuff, getting like-minded with a group of people that love the Lord like that, getting your mind, you're serving the law of God with your mind, you're going to change. You're going to change some more. You've already changed. We're going to change some more. And the more you change like this, the less likely you'll be like that. And that's a good thing. But just don't get over here. Just don't get freaky. Father, we're thankful for the instruction you've given us about our minds in the Scripture. It's just a great delight for me to look at it. It helps me, and I pray that it'll help these that are gathered here, and ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.